Welcome to the St. George's Leeds Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the talk.
The reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you very much, and good evening, everyone. As Rich said, my name is Dan, and I'll just tell you a little bit about myself before I start. So I'm a member of the congregation here, and I'm currently studying a degree in computer science and mathematics, which is very close to the end. and over the last year, I've also served as the Christian Union president at the University of Leeds. But I think that's enough about me. Let's chat about Jesus. This passage takes us to the very exciting time of just after Jesus has rose from the dead and, beaten death, this time just after Easter. And as we see that Jesus uses this opportunity after he's risen to continue to teach. And I think this passage, there's so much great stuff that Jesus is teaching us here. But today I really want to focus on what Jesus is saying about how we are called and guided by God through the way that he interacts and speaks with Peter. Calling and hearing from God is something that I feel that a lot of us can struggle with. Usually it's not because we doubt God can call us, but we struggle to feel like we can do a good enough job. We feel like, we're going to do it wrong. For some of us, that might look like not feeling like we can hear what God's saying. For others, the doubt might be thinking that we're not good enough. But today I feel, as we dive into this passage, it will really be able to encourage and assure us of the way that we can hear from God and be guided by him. We're going to teach into what Jesus first, look at the passage and see what Jesus is teaching us, and then I'll also speak a little bit about how we can apply this teaching to our lives. So let's turn to this verse 1. And we start by seeing some of the disciples fishing. Just like when Jesus first meets them, they're out just doing their day job. They're not in a temple praying in solitude, but at their place of work trying to catch fish. And not very successfully at that. As it gets to morning, Jesus encounters them from the shore and tells them to throw their nets to the other side. And we see a great miracle where they catch many fish after, not being able to the night before. We see here that Jesus decides to meet them on his terms at the place that Jesus chose and at the time that Jesus chose. I'm sure a lot of the disciples might have thought, can you even count us at the start of the night and helped us straight away so we didn't spend the whole night out there fishing? We then see, at this time, the disciples be obedient to Jesus. We recognize in this passage that Jesus is greater. And by following his word in every aspect of life, we will get the best results. For the disciples, we see that bringing their love and friendship with Jesus to work looks like following his commands in everything, even in every small task, like catching fish. The passage then continues at verse 9. As the disciples drag their massive load of fish onto the beach, Jesus invites them over to breakfast around a fire where Jesus already has bread and fish ready to be enjoyed. It might have seemed like Jesus told them to catch the fish because he needed them to provide him breakfast. However, we see quite the opposite here. Jesus already has everything that he needs and he can get breakfast by himself. But he chooses to work through and with the disciples and be in relationship with them. I think this is really significant when we think about God's calling on our lives. He isn't reliant on us doing a good job for his plans to happen, but he instead chooses to include us in his plans. This is really significant, and God wants to work with us. So the start of this passage is great to hear how God can guide us when we're on the path, while we're in a job. But how do we even hear our calling in the first place? How do we even know we're in the right job, the right place, the right city, the right anything to begin with that God is guiding us towards? Jesus teaches us about this through the way that he asks Peter to lead his church in verse 15. Unlike before, this time Jesus meets with Peter alone while he's spending time in Jesus' presence. And the first thing he asks him is, "Do you love me?" Notice that he doesn't ask for obedience primarily. Not for repentance, not for vows, not for conduct, but for Peter to give his heart. This is the only thing that Jesus tells us that Peter needs to qualify for his calling. And it's the same for us. We must give our hearts and love Jesus, and the rest will follow. This means that no one is more or less qualified to hear from God as long as they give him their heart. We see that Jesus makes very clearly a reference in this passage to when Peter denied him three times by once again asking him this question three times. In much the same way, no matter how you are coming here today, Jesus tells us in this passage, through the way that he repeats himself, that even if we slip up time and time and time again, that we can come back to him, and that if we declare our love for him, if we give our hearts to him, then he will once again accept us and guide us in the ways that he is calling. Once Peter declares his love for Christ for the third time in verse 17 now, Jesus commissions him. He tells him to feed my sheep and to follow me. In this, we see that Jesus lets him know what he needs to do and what God's plan is for him. And that is for Peter to nurture God's people, the church. But then Jesus also reassures him that he is being guided. He doesn't just go, Peter, that's great, here's your commission, now go and do your job. But instead, he says, follow me. Jesus makes a promise that he will go before us and guide us down the path that we are called. So now let's turn to the application of that and discuss how we can use what Jesus taught about this passage in our lives. In order to hear from God, we need to offer up our hearts and hear and follow his instructions. But for us, unlike Peter, we probably won't see Jesus in a physical body standing right in front of us on a beach. Once we have offered our hearts to God, he will call on us, but it will be probably looking in many different ways for different people. It could be that maybe you hear a voice like Samuel did in the Old Testament. Or maybe it's through others around you. Or maybe it's when you're alone reading scripture. It could come in all different forms. But once we think we've heard God, how can we be sure it is God? I'd like to share a few pointers that I found really helpful when discerning things that I feel may have come from God in my life, which I learned from the theologian J.I. Packer. The first thing is making sure that what we are being called to lines up with what the Bible says. We see even Jesus doing this in Scripture. When he hears the devil speak to him in the desert, he refutes him. He goes, no, this is not true because this is what the Bible says. And in the same way, if the Bible says things which are contrary to what we feel is might be God's calling, then it probably isn't that. The next thing I think is important is to understand why it is important that we're being called to do this and to understand the reason for our calling. If you can't think of a reason why God might be calling you to this, or the reason you think of seems selfish or arrogant, then that probably doesn't line up with the Bible. And we know that God has made us reasonable and logical humans. However, yeah, if it does, if it's not for a bad reason, then we can pray and we will know that God will guide us to know the purpose of his commission for our lives. And finally, wait on the Lord. God is not in a hurry, as we often are. And he will guide and convict you in his time, in his will. If you wait on the Lord and keep praying over where you are needing guidance, we can be sure that in his time, he will guide you to the path that is laid out for you. There's no need to rush or be hasty. And in all these things, something that's really helpful is to seek the wisdom of those around you. It's great that God has given us the church and many different friends and people that we can speak to, and many very wise people. Make sure that, yeah, when you're speaking to those, you know that people are going to be honest with you, and pray over everything that people say to you. And especially those things that maybe you don't want to hear that someone said, because often those can be the most important. People can help you in each of these steps. They can help give advice into an insight into scripture. They can pray with you, or God can speak to them and advise you in different things. Calling looks very different for everyone, and I thought it could be helpful to just share a bit about how I've used this advice from J.I. Packer in my life when I've heard about calling. So my calling came in the form of a friend who helped me in my walk in faith. And this friend, he felt that, yeah, I'd been called to lead the Christian Union as one of the co-presidents, and that I should pray and discern if this was something that God was putting on my heart. Before this, I'd felt like my path was quite set out for me. I definitely felt quite strongly called to do my degree. And yeah, it felt like maybe this was a bit contrary to that, because this was gonna, yeah, doing a big commitment like this was gonna have a big impact on the amount of time I could spend working on stuff and could impact my grades. So, yeah, it was definitely something I wasn't expecting at the time. But going through the steps that I laid out earlier, I first went to the Bible and couldn't see anything that was seemed evil or wrong about doing that. But the really big question that was on me was, is this what God is calling me to? Am I the right person? And this is where I'd spend a lot of time discerning. I first heard other reliable people explain to me why they thought this could be right. And I went away, prayed on these decisions, and tended to agree with them. I thought ahead and asked questions, thinking about how it would be compatible with other things I did feel called to. And I did believe that God gave me answers in that. And then after that, I waited on the Lord. I just prayed every day for a week. And each time I'd pray about this thing, about, yeah, being co-president, I always felt a sense of positivity, which I felt had come from God. So eventually I accepted and have, spent the last year doing that role, which has been very exciting. When I stepped out and did that role, just because it was my calling, it definitely didn't mean that it was without challenge. But when I started to wander off the path that God was calling me down, having church as a weekly constant made sure I had a routine of recentering myself on God, praying for guidance, and that I would rely on following him and not work in my own strength. But now let's challenge ourselves this week. Just like Peter and the disciples, we know that God is good and he guides our ways in righteousness. So we must take that step and follow him. He asks us to follow him and he will guide us in our actions as we recognize that he doesn't require us but chooses to work in relationship with us. We also know that we can come back to him again and again. And maybe that's where you are today. even if we're in the place that we are called to, do our actions reflect what the Bible says? Are we following Jesus in our calling? But as Jesus shows us in this passage, we can keep giving him our hearts. And if we end up on the wrong path, as we see Peter was after denying Jesus, we can come back to him, give him our heart, and he will respond to us, saying, "To follow me." He will guide us in every step, as we know we cannot do it in our own strength. So let's spend some time reflecting. Whether we want to center our hearts on the Lord now for the first time or for the 1,000,000th, whether we are searching for our calling, discerning what God is saying, or need guidance to keep following God's will in our calling. Let's spend some time now as we listen, we wait on the Lord, and we worship, giving our hearts fully to him, declaring that we love the Lord just as Peter did, and hearing what God has to say.
Thank you for listening to the St. George's Leeds Sermon Podcast. For more talks or information, visit stgs.org.uk.